haven't even read it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I wanted to, you know, check the numbers, the performance, where it's coming from, and all that stuff. And yeah, I guess that's it.
Okay. So, in terms of the right casting, I know last time you were dealing with some bugs and then you fixed them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I fixed them, yeah.
And then you had some performance data.
Yeah, for Postman. That's the only thing I'm reporting now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you have three variants, right through?
Right back and the ordered one.
And the ordered right back.
Yeah.
And, the ordered right back is where you're evicting based on some ordering. Using the graph,
exactly,
the dependency
yes.
graph.
Exactly, yes.
And we talked about two variants where you evict the thing that should be evicted,
uh-huh.
and then all the previous dependencies, or you walk the list, the LRU list.
No, I'm not doing that one.
Which one?
I'm doing the one where you evict something and you evict all the stuff behind.
All the previous.
All the previous, yeah, because all these previous things are very small, you know.
But there is a graph there as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're evicting stuff, you have to follow the dependencies.
Exactly. Right? That's what I'm saying. The number of dependencies in average is four.
In four, but those are all synchronous evictions.
Yes. Right. Well, not exactly, because the average. Last level number of nodes in parallel is two. But it's not that bad. There is some parallelism at least of two in average.
Okay. Now, all I want to make sure that if there is a dependency, you use synchronous I/O.
No, I send stuff in parallel as much as I can.
Oh, as much as you can,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you can send stuff in parallel only when there is no dependency.
Exactly, yes.
But if there is dependency, then you have
yes,
to do it synchronously.
Exactly, yes.
Okay, that's what you do.
Yeah, and the algorithm I'm using, actually there are a lot of algorithm details that we never discussed.
Uh-huh.
I have written about it, or maybe I can explain it to you if you want.
Sure, yeah. I want to make sure that you have another set of ears to validate. Well, yeah, it is all
basically
that.
My validation is just... crash it in the middle and see if the fuzzy thing is consistent.
Okay.
That's my validation.
Yeah, but that's not good enough, right?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. But I know that when I don't do the ordering stuff,
yeah.
it crashes almost every time.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not surprising. But even if you build a system
also,
that...
Also, you didn't ask him.
Yeah, erase everything
okay.
you want. Even if you build a system that you think is consistent, there may be... corner cases where it's not correct.
Oh, no, I know, yeah. I mean,
but
that's not enough for a paper. It kind of convinces me, but it won't convince other people.
Hmm.
Yeah.
For the paper and your thesis, you would need to figure out a way to convince everyone.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Actually, I haven't thought about it, but yeah. First, there is one really nice thing, and this was really painful. This is about maintaining the dependencies.
Hmm.
On some weird cases, I can end up using too much memory because of this thing I'm going to show you. For example, let's say you have a bunch of nodes.
Mm-hmm.
These are sent in parallel and these finish in parallel. So you
the
not
same
have nodes. No, yeah, exactly. This is the, no. These are different. These ends and starts, and these ends and starts. The thing is that this block depends on this block,
mm-hmm.
and you have you have all possible dependencies.
Yeah.
The thing is that when to maintain the dependencies, you need memory, and this was growing, you know, huge.
Mm.
So the trick for doing this is just adding dummy nodes.
VMware.
This make all the difference. And I'm not even, you know, checking for these conditions. I'm adding dummy nodes every 100 starts, just at random, but it takes care of this case. And in the worst case, you have 1% of overhead, which is nothing. But in the best case, you can reduce from n squared to 2n.
That's nice, yeah.
And it is this simple thing. This made a lot of difference, this simple thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I like those kind of changes because it's one line of code.
That's good.
So now for the dependencies, this is the thing. Let's say you have a tree. Let's say you have something like this. You are evicting this guy.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is, first, I mean, the answer to how to evict this, as increasing parallelism and maintaining the ordering, is not, there's not a single answer, even for this graph. And the thing is that you can find some algorithm, but in some cases one is worse than that.
Okay.
So what I'm doing is this. I'm getting the leaves, send that in parallel, then get the leaves, next leaf, send that in parallel, then the next leaf, and then finally I can do this.
I see. That makes sense.
Because otherwise you could have done this. You could have sent these three, then these two, then this guy, and this guy, or these three, this guy, and then these two. Yeah. There are many different combinations.
Well, the best one, in my opinion, would be, well, send all of those four in parallel, but you just have to wait for these two guys to finish. You can send this guy.
Oh, yeah, actually that's better, yes.
And then you have to wait, you don't have to wait for this, you just have to wait for this guy and this, you can send this guy.
Okay.
And how do you do that? You do that by recursion, right? So you spawn a thread, and say evict this. Spawn a thread and say evict this.
Okay.
And each guy will do recursion and do this.
They will take care of the children.
But
yeah.
But this would, I mean, you can probably do a single thread that does this in a recursive fashion.
Okay.
But I'm not sure whether you can do it with a single thread or not because you have to wait for stuff.
And the reason I didn't give it more thought to
this is fine. I mean, what you have is fine.
But the thing is that for postmark, this is very little.
Uh-huh.
And I think the reason is that you don't have many reads in the middle. So if you don't have reads, the last time you accessed this block was the last time you wrote it. So you maintain the same ordering for the values, the order you maintain for this thing. So at the time you evict this, there's nothing behind.
Yeah.
But I should try with something else.
What you have is fine for now. Don't venture deeply at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. That's basically all I have already. And the time keyword was the stuff I mentioned to you.
The n square versus 2n.
That one also. And the main the one I spent most of the time was I was doing recursion and that was killing my stack and I had
recursion isn't happening here also, so I don't know.
But this recursion is different because this recursion is you're not using the stack of your process, right?
It all depends.
You're
on
putting these processes in a list of processes.
Right.
That's where you maintain your stack.
Right. Yeah.
And that's not bounded by a page. And actually, when you put something and you don't have any space left, you get a notice that you don't have any space left.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so this is what you have. So the other option, of course, is to walk the LRU list until you find something that doesn't
that's
have a
clean.
Dependency.
Yes, exactly.
I thought
yes.
You would implement that first because that's the easier one.
That's the easier one. But I didn't do that one because I started with Arc, and with Arc,
You don't have
like a nice order or block like you have in LRU. Right?
I see.
I thought Arc
had list ordered lists.
Well, the thing I was planning to do was, it has a lot of lists and things move from one place to the other. So I thought the
last guy over here was the least important and the first guy over here was the most important. But
you cannot directly walk. So what I was thinking of doing is evict something, do whatever change you have to do, Then if you don't need this, put it again, but you put it again on the top. So I had to, it was too messy, so I
Oh, it's not easy to remove stuff from the middle of the
artist. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Oh, okay, I see.
I mean, it's not an issue with coding, it's an issue with, I have no idea what will happen. So this was simple, doing the other stuff.
No, you don't mess with the art list at all. Because all you need to do is to mark that thing as clean, right? Or you will also have to take it out of the art list because you're evicting out of order from the
Well, actually, I have two options, right? I mean, one option is, there is a dependency here, so at least you have to make this clean. Or you can also evict it. And first I was considering the option where you evict it. But I have better numbers for just putting dirty.
Just making it
clean. Making it clean. Yeah. But there shouldn't be much difference because this is just too small, but there is some difference.
Mm-hmm. So similarly for that art list.
So I could do the same for the art list, yeah.
Yeah, and you have a...
And then I don't have to remove it. It's just,
you don't have to recursively...
Exactly, yeah, all this stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Do you want to talk about any of the other write back?
Not for now. Not for now, because I haven't write a single line of code of the other options behind.
Right. I'm thinking from a thesis standpoint. I mean, do you want to include that their designs in your thesis,
I could. I don't know if I can do show design without showing evaluation.
Or you could, maybe you could do something like, okay, here are the drawbacks of this specific design, and in as part of your future work, you could say, okay, here are the alternatives that can even improve write-back performance beyond what we already achieved.
Yeah,
so right now we have, you know, performance of write back is the best, you know, write through is bad, and we have something which is over here.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And, but there is still space
in
this range
that
we could possibly tap into.
Yeah. But I think I really believe we can shift this a bit more by compressing the old versions. You know, say this is block one, this is block one, this is block one, this is block one. You don't access this much, so I should compress them.
You compress them in memory, or?
Compress them maybe and leave them in memory, compress them into the SSD, but something. The thing is that the main performance overhead for this write back order is making space for all the old versions.
What you're saying is, but the thing is, you don't know when to compress, because if you compressing might have to read it from SSD, compress it and write back.
But I know for sure the main issue is not sending these dependencies, because when I don't do that, I don't affect performance. What affects performance the most is starting to use space for storing all versions.
So your hit rate is affected because of that?
Yes, exactly. And it makes sense because you have to make space for those things and they have to shift over useful stuff. And you don't have a read heap for these guys. It's just all data that you will use just to maintain consistency.
So the other thing about this chapter, have you made that table that...
But it's incomplete right now because there are many things on the table that I don't remember what they are.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I wanted to... Actually, I'll send you what I have for the table. and so you can give me a feedback, because there are many things that I don't quite remember, and I'm assuming it's something.
But we also have the audio there.
We'll have the audio?
Yeah, we have audio for that.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay, so I'll listen to that.
Yeah, listen to that. And see if you can
figure
things out.
Okay,
and
that's
not,
better.
Of course, you know, we can go back and forth over email.
Okay, that's better. I didn't realize it.
Okay. Right, so the thing here is that, okay, your observation that writing all the extra versions to SSD makes a big difference.
Right? Yes.
So there are versions of write back that we talked about where you overwrite because you're journaling stuff, right?
Yeah, that's another doubt I have for the table. We have write back order journal, and I don't know what that is. I think that's what you're talking about.
Maybe we need to say write back journal without order, because ordered is writing back everything in the same sequence.
This is maintaining the journal on the storage side.
There are two journaling versions, right? One is journaling on the client, and then this is not really journaling. Remember, it's
check
more like barriers.
Barriers. Oh yes. Okay. Yes.
But it is journaling actually, because what we're doing is that we have to replay the journal if there is a crash. Let's say the client crashes, and we're in the So first of all, this is your journal, right? And you're always writing in sequence, and then you wrap around. Right?
Yeah.
So you write stuff, and so on. You go, keep going, because let's just think that this is an endless log at this point, right? And then you have another daemon, which is doing the write back for you. And what it does is the following: it maintains these barriers or markers, let's say, and these markers are such that they are atomically written back to storage.
Mm-hmm.
And what that guarantees is that regardless of how many times you overwrote stuff here, right? I mean, since the previous barrier, at the point of the barrier, everything is consistent.
Yes.
And the goal is to take your storage from one barrier to the next one.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So because the storage is never accessed in this intermediate state,
it's always consistent. Yeah.
Right? And this allows you to sort of absorb all these dependencies.
But the point then was, how do you do this on client?
On the client, you would need to have, let's say, after every, so the client says, the client has this counter X, right, since the previous value. And every time you reach X equals some threshold, you insert a marker. Say, okay, this is the barrier. And you keep doing that. And then there is another thread which start sending stuff asynchronously. And of course, you know, when the previous, assuming that this is already done, this other write back thread is going to put a marker here saying that this journal entry has already been checkpointed. And then it moves on to the next one. It sends all this stuff asynchronously and writes a checkpoint after getting all the acknowledgments.
Of course, then the idea is that you only need the maintain copies for...
You don't need any copies.
Actually, yeah.
You don't need to maintain any copies, actually. Is that true? You do...
At least inside here, you don't need copies.
Yeah, within each region, you don't need to maintain copies.
Right? Why would you need copies from location? You shouldn't, then. Way in the past.
Ideally, your journaling thread should keep up with the writing thread, and then you would need the copies, right? But the reason to maintain, let's say, a here is if your, let's say, your write back thread is still here.
Mm-hmm.
The reason to have this copy is, let's say, it, does the next checkpoint here. And then the whole client crashes.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
So,
and even to do this checkpoint, you need the previous version of A. You just can't have a new version of A.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or the other alternative is to have a really long barrier. So get rid of all these intermediate barriers and have a really long barrier. Then you can overwrite A with this guy. So of course, that itself becomes a tunable parameter now. Is it a good thing to have a really long journal entry or whatever it is that we should be calling this? Maybe it's a journal entry. Because what we are saying is that this whole thing is a atomic transaction.
Well, the drawback of having it large is that you have more... what is the inverse name of frequency? You have... we use this term on the table.
Frequency?
Reuse
distance?
No. You say that the data is old.
Staleness. Yeah.
The larger, the more staleness you have. The more staleness you can have.
In the storage.
In the storage, yes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So this is the client-side journaling.
Yes. But all of this is for maintaining stuff consistent on the storage.
Yeah, this is again, the whole paper is about consistent write-back, right?
Yes.
And what are the different ways of achieving such consistency?
Yeah, I haven't wrote us anything about
this one.
Learning.
This one actually would be, I don't know, maybe of the same complexity of what you're doing here, or I would think that this would be less complex than what you're doing here. But it does require an additional thread. Maybe you use an additional thread in what you have right now.
Yeah, I have.
Mm-hmm. But this is not for your thesis, but what I was thinking is that maybe you could talk about some of these and actually create this sort of overall picture of where you think the solutions fit.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you would also bring that table in, right, where we talk about all these different possibilities.
But by the way, did you talk to Leonardo? Is he willing to keep working on this stuff?
He was very interested in what's going on with this project, and I told him that, you know, Ricardo is completely into this. He's doing this full time right now.
Okay.
If he wasn't sure whether you're spending any time on this right now.
I didn't want to bother him because he was
he is certainly busy, but I don't think he would mind,
getting updates?
Yeah, getting updates, exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Right? We could do weekly conference calls because ideally I would like for him to continue what you're doing after he comes back.
Yes.
And if to make that transition smooth, it would make sense to keep him in the loop.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay.
So maybe what you can do is, once you incorporate some of the discussion today, you can send me the chapter itself.
Mm-hmm.
We can do one revision, and then we can also share that with Leonardo, so he can take a look at it.
Okay. Sure.
And he might also have some feedback that you can use.
Yeah, I need to add additional of this stuff.
Think about
journal.
This.
Yeah.
You know, whether it makes sense in your thesis and whether it, you know, enriches your thesis or not. The other thing is, this is client side, and you could think of something exactly similar on the server side.
I remember there was something, because if this was enough, there wouldn't have been any reason for thinking about doing it on the server side.
Right. So
there was something here.
The problem here is if the client completely fails, like there is a hardware failure, then the server could be inconsistent. This relies on the client being able to come back up and replay.
That's it.
Any entries that were not checkpointed.
Yes,
you have to have that ability. So this has some failure mode
that
the other thing doesn't have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, the server cannot access the journal.
Right. Yeah.
Unless you put the journal on the server, and that makes the server taking care of the journal. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
By the way, I mean, this will eventually be online. You should really listen to the to this hot storage keynote. That was very...
Tanya told me about one, but what is the keynote about?
This keynote is about building storage system with flash in them.
Okay.
And this is a guy from, he's a founder of this company called Nimble Storage, where Daniel is working right
okay.
now. His name is Umesh, and he did a really nice keynote.
What is it about, like the key thing? He was mainly focused on performance, consistency.
It was not about that. It was about how do you think about the space, right? Where you have flash and you have disk, and you want to build storage systems with certain properties. How you would go about making the design choices? What are the pros and cons? So he starts with something as basic as, do you want host side flash or server side or storage side flash? Right. And then he says that, well, there are some pros and cons of doing either thing. Right? And that first decision point itself is the most relevant to you.
Yeah, in the next, and that's great that people start talking about, starting to talk, thinking about those things that are not obvious.
Right.
Yeah.
And then he takes 7, 8, or 9 such decision points. Right. So it creates basically hierarchy of decision points. So you could go either host side flash or storage side flash. Even storage side flash, do you want to use the flash as a cache or a tier, or an independent tier? Okay. And if you want to use it as a cache, then do you want to make it a write-back cache or a write-through cache? Right. I'm sort of simplifying this a lot, but he went through a lot of detail about pros and cons of these various such decisions that they had to make for their company.
I tried to start it. The chapter, actually the paper in that way, is we see things as there were only two different light polishes, you know, one extreme, right through, one other extreme, right back, and there should be more things in the middle, right?
Right. Well,
and that's where we fit.
Yeah, exactly. And some of these policies don't really make sense if you, for instance, put flash inside the storage.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Yes.
Because client,
yes.
And there is no concept of client versus server.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But we are, and that's again interesting because, you know, what Umesh said. One of the things, first of all, they build a storage system, which is using flash inside the storage, and they're
okay.
using it as a cache, right, as opposed to a tier, and they're doing a write-through policy.
Okay.
So.
So we like to show them, you know, how making write-through kills performance, you know, but kills performance.
Well,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. The question is, well, it may be true for host side that write-through really kills performance. How bad is performance if you move the flash inside the storage with the write-through? I think
yeah.
it is still bad.
Yeah.
Because every write needs to go to the disk.
Yep.
And one of the things that they do is that they have a lot structured writing on the disk. And their argument is that if you have a large cache sitting in front of the disk, then most of the read locality will be absorbed by the flash, and whatever is going to the disk is going to be write workloads, and what you want to do is optimize for writes, which is best done using log structured file system or log structured layout. Right? So these are some of the messages in the keynote, but there's a lot more in there.
Okay.
I think the video will be available at some point soon, hopefully.
Daniel mentioned me, I don't know if it was ATC or host storage, some panel discussion where they mentioned the thing about partitioning caches and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's
what did they say?
Panel.
What did they say?
Right, so there, someone actually brought up the, well, actually, not the panel, it was in Umesh's keynote itself.
Okay.
Where he says that if you want to use SSDs for caching for virtualized workloads, you need to think about cache partitioning. And he thinks at least that there's not enough work in that space.
So why they don't accept our stuff?
Well, first of all, I think that there was at least one strong supporter, the guy from Netta.
The right? same guy?
I think it's Chris Mall, the same guy.
Oh, okay, so makes sense.
So, no, not the same guy as the one who...
Okay.
Sorry, it's not the same guy. So the you know the Chris Small, Christopher Small from Meta, who really wanted to...
Yeah, the guy who asked us for the...
For the paper,
yeah.
And all that. And so I think that's the guy who really supported acceptance, but there were others who thought this was
literally
not that
review this.
Yeah, not that interesting, yeah. Right? But I think, you know, we need to get that into fast. It's really important.
Fast, by the way, September something, right?
Mm-hmm.
September 20, I think.
Yeah, somewhere in mid-September.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that we can have two submissions, one the partitioning and the other is this thing, for FAST.
I thought you were going to say that you wanted to
merge them. We could merge both of them, but I think there's enough material to have two separate pieces of work.
Either way is fine. Well, I wanted to get accepted because sooner or later somebody else will do it, so if you think having one with both things is more likely to get accepted than both in separate, I would prefer that. Or maybe both by separate is better, I don't know either.
It all depends on the material itself. Once we have all the material, then we can make a decision.
Okay. That's good. So how was it, the workshop?
I think the workshop was really good. Went out very well. Like, the only thing that I thought could have, and there were several things that could have been done better, but the obvious one was how the panel was moderated. I think that could have been done better.
Who did the...
So, Rick Wheeler, this guy from Red Hat.
Oh, he writes kernel code, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he was doing the moderation, but he sort of, like, completely chilled out. He didn't really do any moderation, so to speak. He just, you know, it was a free-for-all, basically.
Oh.
So what happens in that sort of situation, it becomes very organic and uncontrolled. So, you know, you don't have any good direction that the discussion is going towards. And, like, you know, just ad hoc questions and answers. There was some direction, but that was just because of inertia, that people wanted to stick to the same discussion. But it should have been a lot more structured. So that was the only thing that I thought could have been done much better. I think a good moderator could have made a big difference there. In fact, we spent quite a bit of time coming up with questions for the panel, which we didn't go into at all. Right? I thought those were really interesting questions, but there were a bunch of people who were asking questions, which is always a good thing, right?
Yeah.
And to not have the opportunity to use prepared questions is a good thing, but it's not necessarily good if the panel is being pulled in 10 different directions.
Yeah. How was it? Too much work? Was it worth it, all the work?
It was a lot of work, but it was worth it, I think. I think it's good for our lab.
Oh, definitely.
That's the main thing. I think for our visibility.
Oh, Jorge told me there are two Venezuelan guys coming, right? Two more, one more or something. I heard about Venezuelan guys coming.
Yeah, one guy is coming for sure. Well, at least I think he's coming. The other one, I'm not sure because the other resumes I got were not very good.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe they're very good, but their GPAs are not very good at all. And usually, I just rely on Jorge and Luis to tell me what's good and what's not, and they weren't very impressed with their GPAs. But there was one guy who had really good credentials, and I'm hoping that he's still coming, right?
Okay.
I said yes, and he said yes.
So that's it, right? Yeah.
Well, I hope that he's coming. But I had one surprise last year. This one guy was supposed to come, but then he completely disappeared from email communication. And then he said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Europe, and I said, okay. And he decided to go for a PhD or something in Europe. So, until they show up, I'm not... Basically, until they physically show up, I'm not, being happy yet.
Okay.
But we need to have at least one or two more sometime next year.
Is Jesus signed the PhD? He won? Why not?
He wants to go to industry. Wants to be a programmer.
Oh. That's bad.
And I told him, you know, you have all these problems with carpal tunnel. You'll be programming a lot more if you...
Yeah, exactly. Go to industry. He will program in here whatever he wants, he considers cool, you know. in industry, you program some web service for
but I think
5 years or something.
For some reason, I feel like Jesus doesn't have a lot of confidence in being able to come up with ideas. I think he can really quickly implement stuff, right? You tell him what to do, he'll figure out new ways to get it done, right? But to come up with new directions, I think he completely has it in him. It's just that he thinks he does it. Like, that's the main issue.
So you have to convince. He has to convince
that's
himself.
That's what I think, but I don't want to tell him that directly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to tell him that, you know, you're not doing something, because that would be even more discouraging. But
yeah.
Since you're a peer, maybe you can tell him.
Last time I thought that he was actually starting the PhD here in the lab. I thought.
No, that was Salma.
No, it's Jesus.
No, Salma was the one. Salma is...
Luis told me.
Yeah. So...
Yeah.